I'd send also a Christian greeting to you all this morning and welcome to our visitors as we continue this part of the service. What the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you is a beautiful story in the Gospel of Luke. I enjoy the Gospels, but there's certain passages that Luke brings out that you do not find in any of the other Gospels. And one of those is found in Luke chapter 7. So if you have Bibles this morning, maybe we'll just read that passage, then I'll go over it and share some things out of this passage. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36 to verse 50. I've entitled this message, An Encounter with Jesus. Starting in verse 36. Says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I've entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. It's a beautiful story. Shall we just bow for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this passage of scripture, this account, how Jesus ministered to the Pharisee and to this woman. What is in this that you can teach us today, that we can learn from thy word today? So I just invite the Holy Spirit today to guide and direct the word. Bless our time together. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Well, this account where Jesus is anointed by this woman from the city. In the other Gospels, I don't know if it's the same or not, but in I think it's in the Gospel of Matthew and also Mark, but it more relates to it in closer to the time of his crucifixion, where a woman came in and practically did the same thing. I don't know if this is the same, if the writer of those Gospels just then it says about the disciples had indignation in their hearts because they thought, what a waste this was. It could have been given to the poor, which was obviously Judas' thoughts, even though he didn't care for the poor. So I'm not sure if this was the same account or not. I tend to believe that it was maybe a separate account. I don't know. I didn't study into that. But nevertheless, then we have the Pharisee here. I did wonder what his motive was for asking Jesus to come to his house for a lunch. You know, obviously, Jesus taught and he did many miracles, healed people, the blind saw, demons were cast out. So obviously the Pharisees were very much aware of the ministry of Jesus. Some of them had questions. Some of them were openly hostile to Jesus. And some, like Nicodemus, they had questions. Who is this man? Because they were obviously influenced by their peers about him. You know, saying that these people that don't, they even said about Jesus one time, how does he know all these? Never went to school. He speaks with authority. And so this was one of the Pharisees that also obviously had questions about Jesus. Nicodemus came by night. This one, he had the courage to invite Jesus to his house for a meal. So we, some of the Pharisees, the people, not everyone knew who Jesus was. But they knew one thing. They knew that he was a prophet, a great prophet. And when these things happened, just like in this chapter, in the I began reading in verse 36. But if you would go back to verse 11, there Jesus raises a widow's son. And he says, this process, as the funeral process was coming out of the city of Nain, it was the only son of a mother. And she was a widow, it says in verse 12 of chapter 7. They carried the dead man out. And when the Lord saw her, it says, he had compassion on her and said, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and delivered him unto his, and he delivered him unto his mother. This was the response. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, there is a great prophet risen among us. God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. So this, no doubt, affected the Pharisees very much. And the common people, to them, it was no doubt that a great prophet had risen. and God was visiting his people. Which they didn't see or hear anything like this for 400 years. Since there was a major prophet that was ministering among the Jewish people. Now that was John the Baptist and Jesus. And of course Jesus with him, they heard him, but they also saw the miracles that he did and how people's lives were changed. So, but one thing that was kind of different here today at this meal, and I don't think Simon was expecting this. The Pharisee wasn't expecting this. And he had other guests there with him. Because it says in verse 49, it says, and they that sat at the meal with him began to say within themselves. So I think the Pharisee had other guests there as well. And he wasn't expecting this stranger to walk in the door. Verse 37, it says, and behold. Today you'd probably say, lo and behold, a woman in the city. It says, which was a sinner. Now, I don't know how you take that. I don't know what your thoughts were as you read this or have read it. It says, which was a sinner. You could take that past tense. She was. Because... Or you could take that present tense. I don't know how you think about this. When I used to read this, I always took that present tense. She was a sinner. She came in the house, in the Pharisee's house this way. She obviously, heard, and she was changed there. But I tend to believe today this is, and I don't think it really matters, but I just tend, because of the response that I see from this woman, I tend to believe that she was changed. She was touched. Something happened to her life prior to that. And she knew that Jesus, she found out that Jesus was going to be at the Pharisee's house at this certain place. And because of the crowd, many times it was hard to get close to Jesus. This was an opportunity for her to come to Jesus and just offer her gratitude, her heart's devotion to the Lord. So she was an unexpected visitor, uninvited visitor, steps through the doorway. A woman in the city. Can you see Simon's eyebrow rising a little bit? As she makes her way over to where Jesus is sitting. And he thought, well, it must be true, the saying that he's a friend of sinners. Of publicans and sinners. She didn't come for lunch. She came because she knew Jesus was there. This was her opportunity to meet him. I believe there is something about his teaching, about himself, that was so different, and how he communicated with them that just drew her to the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 4, she might have been among this multitude, I thought. In Matthew 4 and 23, it says about Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with demons, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy or were paralyzed, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And that covers a large group of people having all various needs met. He preached the gospel to them, people being delivered. Maybe this woman was one of them, one of those times, because that was a regular part of Jesus' ministry. She comes into his presence. She senses no rejection. But love. You know, she breaks, her tears gush out, she falls on her knees, she can't speak. Her heart's cry is in her tears. As she weeps, bowed low, her tears fall on Jesus' feet. Using her hair, she wipes the dust off of Jesus' feet and kisses them. Using the ointment from the alabaster box, she anoints his feet with ointment, releasing a fragrance sweet to the room. That also represents a cleansing and a change in her own heart, a peace that flooded her soul. What does this speak about her? Extreme, unashamed devotion, does it not? And worship. This is immediate. That's why I believe that it was, she was touched by the Master's hand. Her life was changed. But Simon, what about him? You know, thought about Jesus. No doubt, this was very unusual for him as well. You know, having this happen in one of his, you could say, his critics' house. If anything, you'd want this to happen, you know, maybe outside where it's just him and his disciples. But what are they going to talk about me now? But Jesus wasn't moved by that. You know, he didn't care. This was in, you could say, not necessarily one of his supporters, but I would say he was one that was maybe his motive. Not really sure. Maybe it was good. Maybe it was just to see who this, see what he could find out about Jesus. But I'd say Simon, or the Pharisee, I call him Simon because in other Gospels it says, calls his name Simon, but I'm not sure if his, this was the same one. But this time he was feeling pretty good. Taking this scene all in would give him some pretty good stories to tell his fellow comrades. Perhaps this was a big part of his motive for having Jesus to his house for dinner, to discern who he was. Who was this Jesus? Is he from God? Is he a prophet? Who is he? There had even been some rumors that he is the anointed one, the Christ. But among their peers, they would say that the people that say such thing, they don't know the law. They that don't know the law are cursed. They knew the law. They've been schooled in it. Hoping to find some answers for himself, thinks that his questions are being answered right now. As he watches this emotional scene of this woman touching Jesus' feet, weeping, and so on. Then he comes to this conclusion. He says, if Jesus were a prophet, as some of the people say he is, he would recognize who this woman is and would not allow such nonsense from a sinner as such. That's the conclusion he was drawing. But you know, Jesus, he was not going to let him off so easy. Simon's about to get another lesson from Jesus. And maybe from Jesus and from God's perspective, this was all designed to be. Just to teach him a lesson as well. He was about to hear a lesson he wouldn't forget from this man, Jesus, who looked at people and their life situations from a completely different perspective than what the Pharisees looked at people. Jesus, he looked at them from heaven's perspective. There was a prophecy given by Isaiah the prophet that says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, says about the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. See, Jesus already knew what was going on in the Pharisee's heart. The Spirit of knowledge, he knew that. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. In verse 4 it says, and with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And we see that being fulfilled. So what do we see in these two characters? The Pharisee and the woman of the city, both in the presence of Jesus. An encounter with Jesus. Let's start with the Pharisee. The first one we see is obviously self-righteousness. When he saw the woman touching Jesus' feet, and Jesus didn't stop her, he thought, you know, we see what he thought. Surely he's not a prophet. He can't be from God. If he were, he wouldn't allow this to happen. But he didn't see himself. Another thing we see in him, he was critical. He inclined to find fault or to judge others with severity. Another one, we see pride. No doubt he had the attitude, I thank God I'm not like her. This woman is a sinner. He was judgmental, an attitude that is quick to judge other people's actions. Not understanding their situation, not understanding them. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus spoke of this very issue, where he says, judge not that he...
verse
Judge not, that he be not judged. For with what judgment he judge, he shall be judged, and with what measure he meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, or in your sister's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thine own eye. Jesus teaching on being critical or judgmental. Hypocrisy. What you see is not really who I am, a cover-up. Even so, ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Self-sufficient, don't have any needs myself, but I sure can see the needs of other people. And not lift up a finger to help those needs in others. Doubt and unbelief. This man were a prophet, so he didn't even believe that. We see doubt and unbelief. The woman of the city, in her life, like I said, this woman obviously experienced some sort of healing from the Lord Jesus. She was deeply grateful, thankful to Jesus for physical and mental healing that she received. Her once troubled, tormented mind and body became peaceful as a troubled lake that Jesus calmed one day. Something obviously happened to her. From this whole scene, I see a heart overflowing with gratitude. Being thankful and a readiness to show appreciation for a devotion to Jesus that is not hindered by the fear of man. Would she been have the fear of man her? She would not have come in here. But for some reason it was an opportunity that she realized that she needs to cease. Otherwise, she won't have maybe perhaps another opportunity. Similar to the leper that Jesus healed one day, 10 lepers, the one came back. He was so overwhelmed with gratitude what Jesus did for him. He came and fell at his feet and worshiped him. Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy lives and relationship. But for this reason was the Son of God made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. That's in 1 John 3:8. And in John 10, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And here we see that being fulfilled. Like I said, I once thought that this lady was a sinner when she came in, but obviously the Pharisees still looked her as such. But I believe her life was changed. She was not defined by her past. That was not who she was today after Jesus changed her. So in her we see repentance. She came. In her we see humility. She humbled herself. She came and fell at his feet. We see brokenness. She was weeping of a contrite spirit before the Lord. Matthew 5:4, it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And I think she experienced that comfort. Psalms 34:18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." We see honesty. She came. Jesus can always help those that come to him and are honest with him. What's going on in their lives? No cover up. I think she was just gave it all to him. She saw herself in need of help, of deliverance. She could not pull herself up by her own bootstraps. Probably many times she had wished for a change in her life if she just could. Then one day, Jesus changed her. She came just as she was. We see faith in her. She demonstrated her faith by coming to Jesus. And also in verse 50, Jesus said, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." So we see faith. Plus, she honored the Lord. She glorified the Lord. She poured that expensive ointment on his feet. Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin, in his own house." But here we see this woman, she honored the Lord. We see devotion and worship. And we also see love. Like Jesus said here, "For she loved much, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven." So she loved much. She was deeply grateful and loved the Lord. She had found a freedom, free from her ugly past. Her life was changed. Her burden was lifted. Sometime or the other, her encounter with Jesus changed her. When you come to Jesus, Jesus loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you that way. So thinking about this, you know, I had to think, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is approachable. He's approachable. We can come to him anytime. He invites us to come to him with whatever situation we have, whatever we face. We're encouraged to come to him just as we are. In Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4:15-16, it says, "For we have not a high priest like the Pharisee, He says, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. That was with Jesus. I think this woman, she sensed a holiness in Christ. She sensed a righteousness in his life. And even though he was holy, and even though he was righteous, yet he was approachable. She could come to him. How's that? You know, I think before Jesus' time, the Pharisees were probably looked at the most godly people. I mean, in the Jewish communities, if they would have thought somebody that is holy and righteous, they would have probably pointed to the Pharisees. And I probably would have likewise if I would have been in their time. But when Jesus came, he saw underneath the surface. And he saw that they were just like all the others. But they didn't see themselves for who they really are. But Jesus really was righteous. He really was a holy and a just person. Yet he was approachable. You think the woman was able to approach to the Pharisees with any of their needs? I'm not saying none did, but very likely not, because of their attitude towards them, just like we see in this passage. So you have a high priest, as it says here in Hebrews, who can be touched with your needs. And he was in all points tempted, like as you are. Yet he was without sin. Then he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, like she did. I think there was something that was a boldness in her that she just came to him. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our needs as well. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the beautiful invitation that you give us, that Jesus is our high priest and he can help us in all our needs. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful account and how you changed this woman of the city. Obviously, her life was changed forever. The Pharisee, he got a good lesson that day. And we hope and pray that he was in the process, too, of sorting things out. And he came through someday, changed. But this woman, she just obviously saw her need. And may it give us courage today that you are always approachable, whatever situation we have. That we can have an encounter with you. Here were two that had an encounter. One's life was drastically changed for your glory and for your praise. That is what you want to do yet today for us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.